there will be peace in the valley for me. There the flowers will be blooming and the grass will be green and the skies will be clear and serene. Will the sun
Good to see everybody. My goodness, it's got warmer tonight than it is. Wait a minute, maybe that's wrong, but it's cold outside. On Tuesday is Miss Ruby's birthday, and she'll be turning 97. Oh, wow, man, I can't even hardly count that high, but anyhow, 97. And about 1 o'clock, if you don't have anything to do, a few of us are going to kind of go up there and do something or another. Now, if you know where, you know, nursing home is, upstairs, soon you go in the, I call it the front door, where the steps are, where we sang that time. You can go in those steps right there, and they'll buzz you through or whatever, and just go to the left. It's the first room on the right after you go through the double doors. So we'll be up there about 1 o'clock if at all possible. So if you can spare a few minutes, go up there and brighten our day, all right? That's what it'll do. It'll end up doing, it does a reverse effect, all right? So be much in prayer for that. Of course, we'll have Wednesday night Bible study. Saturday is eating meeting, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock situation. So be much in prayer for that, okay? I trust you had a good day. It's been a beautiful day, just been kind of a beautiful day for when you're looking through the glass, not out there on the other side of it. Turn your Bible if you brought it. I hope you did. I'd love for you to turn, I believe it's in the book of Mark I want to read tonight. Just a little simple, chapter 12, Mark chapter number 12. I'm going to be all over the place. But I want you to pray with us just for a little while. I want us to think a little bit. We've got many, many things that are going on in our world. Who would have ever thought what Sister Luna just talked about would have ever took place? And that there was no damage done or nothing. It just made, all of a sudden, you start thinking. And I know from my position, sometimes I get to see this way, and you don't get to see. Sometimes I see what comes through the doors. And, you know, I'm glad these guys are back there watching a lot of things, because they would see it before I would see it. And I don't have to worry about that. I don't even think a thing in the world about it. The book of Mark, chapter number 12. I want you to read with us just a little bit of it, not very much, but let's look at verse 12. I got to tell you just a little bit about the first part. First part is talking about the vineyard and how that their husbandmen and how they killed them and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of setting the stage of Jesus is saying here's the vineyard and here's what did happen. And kind of understand now, he's trying to explain some things to folks. Verse 12, the bystanders, and they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we bow in your presence. I thank you for the privilege that we gather together. I thank you, God, for your love and your mercy that you give us. God, I thank you for the songs that we get to enjoy and sing. God, be able to thank you for what you do for us. And God, we pray just for a few moments of time that, God, we just separate ourselves from the world and be able to trust you. Be able to draw strength from what you have for us tonight. Give us that which we stand in need of, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was telling what the role of different things, now he's talking in a parable, okay, but he's talking about different roles and what people do, how that they will, let's just use it in our terminology, how you'd work a field. And how that at the work into the field at the end of the time, there's going to come a harvest. And as we plant, we sow, and we do all those things, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a reward or reaping. Now, farmers do that on a regular basis. Most of the farmers that we see around here, they'll do a lot of planting, and we don't get to see them very often and during the growing part of the season, but then when it comes time for harvest, they're busy working all kinds of hours, day and night, to get their crops in. Whenever you think about Jesus explaining that to people about sowing and reaping, it sounds like a simple process. The scriptures tell us, as you sow, that's how you reap. If you sow to the flesh, what are you going to get? Corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, there's a big difference. When you sow to the Spirit, when you sow and give something to God, not like what Malachi says, will a man rob God? Now when we're talking about financial situations, well, that's a little bit, that we would call that, well, that a little bit different thing. But think about it. God puts things like that in there to see where your heart lies. Because if your heart is not right with God, you'll hold on money. You'll hold on money like it's yours. I like it whenever I hear somebody else say these things. And I've actually read, I've got some books on a fellow by the name of Oliver Green, and you may or may not ever heard of him. He's been gone a long time ago. But he would say something, things like this, and many others that I have read from and heard from say, you know what? God trusts you with 100% of the money. But if you're willing to give, God will bless 90% more than you trying to hold on to that 100, you know, that type thing. And I like it when somebody else says that. I like it when somebody else says, here's the way blessings come. It's like sowing and reaping. We know if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap something that's beneficial. Beneficial. Our lives are blessed if we sow the proper things. Now, if we sow to the world, we know we're going to receive corruption. So in this passage, Jesus is beginning to give a process to folks. He's beginning to tell them some things. He's beginning to relay it. And the folks that he's telling it to believe that Jesus is singling them out. Singling them out. When you come to the church
and you sitting under the preaching of whoever, me or somebody else, when the word of the Lord is preached, God don't say, well, let me write down about five or six things that we know somebody's guilty of, and make sure you expound upon those five or six things. And when you expound upon them, boy, they're going to run down that altar and they're going to get right. That ain't the way it works. God is the one that knows how to prick the heart. Man does not. Whenever you are saying what God wants you to say, you just spit it out there. God takes care of the rest of it, all right? And whenever it is said and whenever it is done, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that signals that to an individual's heart. It's not the preacher. Preacher ain't got a clue. He ain't got a clue. But if you will listen, if he will listen to the Spirit of God, and you, if anybody knew Jesus could say something that could speak to the heart of man, he could say it. And that's what he did. And this is where I want to pick up now. Where it says now, and they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. Now the next verse says other folks got involved. But they left him in verses 12 and they went their way. There's a scripture, I just looked it up and I like this, but listen to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I have that underlined in my Bible for a reason. There is a part of us that whenever we are delivering the Word of God, when we are testifying about the Word of God, when we're singing about the Word of God, anything that we do for the Word of the Lord, when we deliver that Word, we shall be blessed. We're going to be blessed for our efforts. I don't care if it's down here. I don't care if it's up there. I don't care. We're going to be blessed for what we do for God. Now watch this. But a big part of what we do is not to stand in the way of a sinner. Now how can we stand in the way of a sinner? Well, this particular verse right here. Jesus did not have to single those folks out. Now, I want to tell you, he did not have to say one word. Did he know their heart? Yes, he knew their heart. Did he know their thoughts and intentions? Oh, yes, they did. You remember when that woman was taken in the very act of adultery and Jesus writes down with his finger and writes down upon the ground? Friend, and whenever them folks looked at what Jesus wrote, all of a sudden they began to disappear and disappear. Not a word was said. And he says to the woman, said, where are thine accusers? She said, there is none, Lord. He said to her, go and sin no more. You see, why? God knew what to write down on the ground without ever saying a word. And God knows exactly what you're going through and what you have been guilty of and what you're innocent of and what you say, oh, I've got no part or lot in this matter. Friend of mine, God knows all about you. And he knows all about us. And whenever he writes down and says something like this, they left him and went on their way. They couldn't handle it. No, sir, they couldn't handle it. Me and you don't need to stand in the way of a sinner. Now, you listen to me. I want you to listen to this part. You don't even have to turn. I'll just read it to you. Acts chapter 2. A lot of folks go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and they read in some of this little section here. They say, oh, I can't stand to read that right there because that's on that other religion. You just hang with me a minute. But verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, I like this. I like you. I like this verse. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, most of all, we miss out that part. Repentance always ever comes before baptism, all right? If you don't get repentance first, baptism don't mean a thing. But if you get repentance out of the way and you confess your sin to God, baptism is the next logical thing that takes place. But go on. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Now listen to me. For the promise, what is the promise? Friend of mine, the promise of a saving Savior that we have is for me. Now that was before I got saved. Jesus would speak his word, and that word would come into my heart just like it did yours. And when that word would come into your heart, it would bring conviction. That's the thing that those other folks heard. And when Jesus said what he said about the vineyard and what he said about the sowing and the reaping, they took it offensive. And they decided they're going to go away from God. They're going to take their little suitcase and they're going to go a different direction. Now, I got news for you. Just because you go somewhere else, it's kind of like going to church. Years and years ago, when you go to the house of God, you could go down and visit the Methodist and you're going to get preached to. And you say, "Oh, I don't like that preaching down there at the Methodist church. I think I'll go to the Baptist church." Friend, if a preacher's worth a grain of salt, the message that's preached in the Methodist church will still be the same message that's preached in a Baptist church. And they're going to preach the message that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. We're not going to squabble about all the little bitty thing. Let's talk about how you get saved. And that's the only thing that's important in the house of God. We need to talk about something that's real important, and that's Jesus Christ. If we talk about him, oh, we in good shape. We can say, "Oh, I don't like that song. Oh, I don't like that right there." Friend, you can talk about all the things you dislike after you leave church. But why in the house of God? Don't dare stand in the way of a sinner. Don't dare get in the way of him. That rascal, he looks for reasons to find a reason to go away. He looks for things that he can say, "Well, I don't like that. I ain't never going to go back to that church." Friend, go down the road. It ought to be the same down the road. It ought to be a hard time to find a place to go to church. You know something? When you're right with God, the message ought to be the same everywhere. I'm repeating that. Why am I repeating that? Because, friend, you can go to a lot of churches now and you can't hardly hear the preaching of the Word of God no more. Turn on something or other and listen. If you won't hear stories after stories after stories. Now, if I want to hear, I love Randy, Brother Randy right there. He can tell you some stories. I just love sitting here some of them stories he has to tell. But when it comes seriousness, he will tell you about the Lord. But now a lot of his stories brings in the Lord. Don't take that wrong. But I love to hear him tell them stories. And I really do. Now listen. But when it comes down to it, storytelling in the house of God is not going to get anybody saved. Mm-mm. When we talk about Jesus, that convicting power comes. That's what happened. Now listen. Acts chapter 2 says this. I ain't got down to it. Where it said in 39, "For the promise is unto you." Now, I like the "you" part, but what's where it goes further? It goes not only to you, but to your children. Now, that's easy. It's easy when it's you talking to your children. One of the easiest things in the world to do is set your children and say, "Listen." And especially if you got a belt, it's a lot easier for them to listen. Okay? All right? That's good while they're this high. It ain't so good while they're this high, okay? But you better do a lot of talking while they're this high. See, that message or that gospel is to you and to your children. But it don't stop there. Look at the next part. To you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Now, it's easy whenever everybody comes to church. It's easy. If we can get folks to come to the house of God, it's easy to preach the gospel to. Whenever we get them to come to the house of God, they get a little dose of singing. They get a little dose of praying. They get a little dose of a lot of different things. They could be so blessed enough to get around some testimony. They could get a little blessing of somebody gets happy. Somebody, all of a sudden, they want to jump up and testify and sit down. Friend, there's all kinds of blessings they can get. But watch this. If they're not coming to church, a little bit harder. If they're afar off. Remember what these folks did there? When Jesus told them what they said? They looked around at the folks that was not, if they would have said something, that wouldn't have been happy. In other words, what Jesus said, they could see it in their faces that they were happy with what Jesus was saying. Now, how is that possible? My bulldog, he was a church member at a church in Waterloo. I keep repeating this guy because, man, as a young preacher, scared me to death, all right? Went down there preaching in Waterloo, First Baptist Church in Waterloo, big church. There's probably every 25, 30, 40, 50 people maybe. Big church. Waterloo's not that big of a town, okay, so don't worry about it. So I went in there and I preached him in, but there was one about, a little bit beyond where Brother Herschel's sitting at, and that fella sat there that whole time right there. Bless me if you can. And boy, howdy, he just scared the dog out of me. I was scared to death because I was afraid he's going to jump all over me there in a minute. No, in other words, I was looking at the looks. God don't want us to look at our looks. Friend, whenever you're happy in the Lord, it ought to shine on your face just a little bit. And if it shines on your face just a little bit, the critics, boy, they were going to say something, but when they saw that the people would get upset, they left. They left. But our gospel, that gospel, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent. That gospel that we preach to everybody is even to those that run away. The ones that don't go to church. The ones that you invite that never come. Friend, there's all kinds of folks right now that there's no possible way you'd ever see them to come in the church door on Sunday night. They won't ever go. Why? Because they done got beyond the gospel was to you and your children. They done got beyond that. Let's talk about another generation. Let's talk about down the road. Down the road is when those that they're not used to going to church, they're not wanting to go to church, that they've heard enough church that all they want to. Friend of mine, if Jesus himself coming, they wouldn't believe a word he had to say. In fact, we get a warning saying, lo, Christ is over there. Don't go not over there. No, sir. We are given a warning about a false prophet, but I got news for you. If the Lord appeared, we'd have folks that say, I ain't got time to go to here. I ain't got time to go to church. I don't care who's there. Because, friend, we have got so far off from church, so far away from church, that the preaching of the gospel is so far away, they don't want to hear no part of it. Blessed. There's a blessing for those that will do what God wants us to do. But don't stand in the way of a sinner. Watch this. Let me finish this verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God, and watch these words, call. You mean to tell me God calls folks? Friend, I don't know where you was at when God first spoke to you, but I ne'er say it was in a church house. You see, sometimes God finds you on your job. God will find you at school. God finds you in the field. God finds you wherever. But wherever God finds you and calls you, in other words, sends that message unto you, that spirit of conviction unto you, it don't matter, friend, whenever that call is made to you, you know it's from God. And to us that's heard it, we didn't know how to appreciate it. We didn't know the first thing about appreciation. Christ has made a promise. This promise is that his word won't return void. Now, it didn't mean much to me. In fact, it didn't mean, you could have told me that while I was lost, it meant nothing to me. But afterwards, that meant when somebody relayed the gospel message to a lost person, they could have been way over yonder.
And way over yonder, you still can't hide from God. Because the call of God goes far beyond what we think. In fact, the call of God reaches into the pits of hell. Men and women, boys and girls, however you want to call it, whoever is in the pits of hell today, they can hear from God. They can't do nothing about it because their cry is null and void. But they hear from God. And you know what they hear? When God called them, when they could have done something about it. That's what they hear. Remember what that rich man said? Abraham told him. Remember, so now in thy day, in your lifetime? You remember what was good was happening to you? He could have went on and said, you remember when you had the opportunity? Remember when you could have went to church and didn't go to church? Remember when you could have got saved and didn't get saved? Remember when that preacher tried to tell you? Remember when that person tried to tell you? He'll go through every single time and every opportunity that you had. But no, what'd you do? You went afar off. The thief on the cross had literally hours to come to Christ. Just few hours. But he could have got saved while up there on the cross, just like the other one did. The rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, had minutes. Because the conversation, as I read it in the Bible, it only took a minute or so for him and Jesus to have the conversation. And that conversation was when Jesus said, oh, you've done pretty good there. Just give it to the poor. Come follow me. The Bible said he went away grieved. Just a few short minutes. You might have a few short hours. You might have a few short minutes. But friend, when you're far away from God, you might only hear just a call. A call. As I've got older, my hearing is not near as good as it used to be. And I could hear. Can't hear hardly anymore. So for me to hear a human voice is less. But friend, there's still an opportunity for me to hear God's voice. And it don't matter if I'm deaf and can't hear a thing, I can still hear from God. Ain't that something? Wow. How's that work? Whenever I'm blind and can't see, but I can see God. How does it work? When you can't hear and God still speak to you. You see, the blind can see. Oh, I think there's something in the Bible about that, isn't it? The gospel can be preached to every one of us. And we can have all kinds of physical problems. And God don't even look at them because he knows this whole body is going to go away. And he's going to give us a glorified body. It don't matter how far we go, the call of God can go. You see, God can speak the other side of the world. Oh, we just need to say, God, would you do something that I can't do? Would you go speak to that one? And friend, that message, somehow, some way, that call can be made. I thank God that he's not limited by space. But you know what me and you, our job is? Don't stand in the way of a sinner. Let the message be delivered. If we could just deliver that message. When somebody walks through that door, let's deliver that message. We need to have simple, childlike faith to be saved. That's all it takes. Whenever a young person right now can get saved, when they reach age of accountability, whenever they reach age of accountability and they get saved, they're just as sure for heaven as I am and you are. Age don't mean a difference. But the further they go away, maybe it's only the call of God that'll reach them. And that's what it reached me one day. He reached way down and pulled me out of the miry pits and depths of sin. I'm thankful for his call. How about you? Brother Gordon, a song of invitation. I don't know your heart or your life, but know the Lord. Knowing the Lord, he knows how to speak to those that are afar off. We have drifted many, many times. We've went away. We've done things contrary to the will of God. Sometimes we've been so contrary that we just not paid no attention to him. But you know, God still speaks. You can say no to him. But friend, the truth of it is, when he says no to you, that's when trouble comes. Let's stand on our feet and sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you tonight. If you need to come, you come, knowing free pardon of sin.